You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me here on this beautiful Tuesday night in the state of Wisconsin, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas is just around the corner. There's a nip in the air, and we are broadcasting statewide from downtown Green Bay. Lots going on here lately. We had a skier outside the window last night.
Yeah.
We got a girl in a wheelchair, our friend Sarah, who is recuperating. She'll be our Nightlight window fun slash love tonight on social media. So check out Sarah and wish her a speedy recovery, if you will. Great guest tonight, too, folks. We've got in-studio entertainment in hour number two. Comedy City will be here talking about a lot of fun events they have coming up, and they're going to do a little improv for us. And then comedian Boris Hamilton will be here in the third hour, too. We'll be talking Christmas movies and a really cool documentary he was part of that we're going to discuss and go into a little bit of detail on. Should be fun. Right now, I'm excited to welcome my next guest. This is his first time on Nightlight. He is the founder of Joey's Song, an organization that tries to raise money for epilepsy and uses great music and a great music festival to do it. Joining me now is Mike Kamal. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Pete.
How are you?
You know what? It's not so bad. I'm down here in Madison, and it's a lot warmer than it was a couple days ago, so I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'm not a cold weather guy. Conrad and I complain about the weather all the time, yet we choose to live in Wisconsin, so it's kind of a pointless exercise, but
I'm a lifelong Wisconsinite, except for when I moved way down south to Chicago, so that shows you... That shows you what a Yankee I am. So, yeah, I got no right to complain either.
You know what's funny? I spent the first part of my childhood in Chicago. I moved up to Marinette, Wisconsin, went back to Chicago for college. So I tell this story like I'm kind of a man between two. Like I'm a cheesehead when I'm in Chicago and I'm a fib when I'm here. people don't accept me in either place. But I do laugh because in Chicago when I was in college, people would ask me where I'm from. And I would tell them, and it's 4 hours north, and they'd go, oh, man, you're way up there. And these would be people from Appleton saying, oh, you live way up. And then I moved to L.A. for 15 years, and I'm like, it's all the Midwest, and it's freezing, you know?
Well, and we'll get into that, I'm sure, as we talk, but that's part of my dilemma as I'm recruiting all these artists from L.A. to come to Madison, Wisconsin in January. It involves a lot of finagling, shall we say.
Yeah. But you know what? The cause is so great. I'm sure you have no trouble. And I've heard how, you know, Frank, a shout out to our pal Frank Anderson, who introduced us, and he's a big part of Joey's Song as well. And so it's great to meet you, Mike. It's great to have you here. Let's jump right in and talk about this just absolutely wonderful event you have coming up January 8th through the 12th at the Sylvie, Joey's Song. Tell us a little bit of the background.
So Joey's Song is in memory of my son, Joe, who unfortunately passed away after battling a severe form of epilepsy his entire short life. He died just shy of his fifth birthday. Epilepsy is a spectrum disorder. It's got a myriad of causes and a myriad of ways that it manifests itself. And Joe, unfortunately, was born with a chromosomal disorder. I can never say that properly, but that's because I need to put in my polygrip. But his brain... stuff that was supposed to go left was going right, and it caused all sorts of problems. And so even when Joe was still with us, I had thought about trying to do something to try to raise money for the next family, something we still say here in Joey's Song. But at that point, I had a child with severe special needs, as well as Joe's older brother and sister, and that we were just trying to make it to bedtime. You know, but once Joe passed away, I started to kind of flex some old muscles. I didn't do this as a career, but back in Madison in the 80s when I was in school here, I worked at a club called Headliners, which had a lot of bands on the way up. We always referred to it as we had the MTV bands on the way up and the 60s bands on the way down kind of thing. Nice. 1,000 seat venue. I did not go on to do that, but I've always been kind of a music person. And the one golden thread out of that, there was another fella kicking around Madison at the time called Butch Vig. And Butch and I ran in the same circles, and he went off to win Grammy Awards and MTV Moon Men, and I did not. But when it came time to try to start this effort that we now call Joey Song, it would have been a fool's errand for me to call anybody but Butch.
Wow, that is so great. And talk about, man, so you've got this friend who helps you get this thing off the ground, and he's a music, yeah. He's just a music legend. I mean, the Smart Studio story, his connection to Wisconsin is great, and he's just conquered the music world.
Yeah, when you've won a Grammy for producing Paul McCartney, that's the mountaintop. So,
you know, just a quick aside about Butch Vig. I've had the opportunity to interview him twice, once on PBS Wisconsin, and Wendy Schneider was there. I'm sure you know Wendy.
Oh, yeah.
We were in the green room. He's really funny. He kept doing this voice about the frozen tundra or something like that, like he was going to break into the frozen tundra. You know, I wasn't expecting that.
No. First of all, and all your listeners locally, there is no larger Packer fan in the world than Butch. I would defy it. There's a bunch of us, including our friend Frank, that have this text thread that has been going on for years, and it centers around the Packers. And Butch was sitting in the airport on Sunday down in Melbourne. Garbage just finished up their Australia tour and was complaining because the Wi-Fi was so bad he couldn't watch the Packer game.
Oh, boy.
So that tells you all you need to know. But yeah, he's just a straight shooter, a good guy, and I don't know what I did to deserve a friend like him, but thank goodness I got him.
Well, you're the driving force behind this, Mike, and it's just such a great event. And tell us a little bit about, like, it was a one-night event until recently, and now it's a whole festival, the Freezing Man Festival. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, so we just talked a little bit about me trying to get these people from L.A. to come out in January, and all of them assume that, you know, we are all don't move for 4 months up here. And so rather than fight it, instead of Burning Man, we're leaning right into it and calling it Freezing Man. So that's the idea behind it. And really, it's one of these things that has evolved. It was not always what it is now. So I probably should go back and answer your first question, which is, what is the Joey Song Freezing Man? So what we do, I'll try to summarize it. So many of the folks we just mentioned, Butch and Frank and our pal Corey Chisel and Alex Drossert and a lot of those guys from up there in the Green Bay Appleton area, along with Butch and Duke Erickson from Garbage and Freddie Johnston, have this kind of knockaround band they call the Know It All Boyfriends. It's basically a chance. Yeah, it's a chance for them to get silly and play stuff they don't normally play and have a few beers. And so what they do is they serve as a house band, for lack of a better phrase, and we bring in all these amazing people. I will break some news that I just found out about 25 minutes ago. I'll save it for the end of the roster here, but we've added a new guest literally just 25 minutes ago. So we've got Jane Wiedlin and Gina Schock from the Go-Go's and Vicki Peterson from the Bangles and John Resnick from Goo Goo Dolls and Hugo Burnham from Gang of Four. Chris Collingwood from Fountains of Wayne, Max Collins from Eve Six, on and on and on and on. And we just added a few days ago, Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears.
Oh,
and
wow, nice.
I just found out about 20 minutes ago that Matt Sorum from Guns N' Roses is joining us as well. So we've got amazing people. They all come to Madison, and we put on these concerts. This year, we're putting on one acoustic storyteller's night, and another one will be a full-blown jam. And the best part of it is they don't play their songs. They play each other's and covers, right? Because for a lot of these people, you know, they play their hits 207 nights a year, right? And so the fact that they can play a Beatles song with, you know, the guitarist from Fountains of Wayne and Jody Stevens from Big Star and, you know, so on, it's just an amazing thing, and it's really full of these one-off musical moments that happen, and that's the best way I can describe it to people. You get these amalgam of Grammy winners and Rock and Roll Hall of Famers all getting together and playing AC/DC. It's truly, if I won't sprain my elbow patting myself on the back, it is truly, truly spectacular. And I don't want to overblow it like this was some grand plan I had. This has just evolved into it, and it's a glorious thing.
Mike Amal is my guest. He is the founder of Joey Song, an event he founded on behalf of his late son, and they try to raise money for epilepsy. And I love that none of the bands, Mike, take money. Nope. And you've all those names you just mentioned, like, this would be a great event, even if it wasn't for a good cause. It would be an incredible festival, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Pete, that's a great point you made about the artist. I need everybody to know all those people I just named and a few that I didn't because I'm slowing down in my old age and I don't have it written down in front of me. All come to Madison for 4 or 5 days. Most everybody will come in on Wednesday. We'll rehearse all day Thursday, do shows on Friday and Saturday, rehearse on the, and you know, they get a ham sandwich and 2 beers is, you know, their payment for it. And, you know, I don't know what Butch gets for a day's work, but I guarantee you it's not that, you know, so.
Do you play, Mike?
And then, you know, the thing I got to throw on top of it for all of our Wisconsin listeners is the guy that keeps the whole night moving is everybody's favorite Wisconsinite, Charlie Barron. So Charlie plays kind of MC and ringmaster.
Does he do the Manitowoc Minute? Are you anticipating he's going to?
Well, I got to tell you, 2 years ago, he sang.
Oh, dear. How was that? Was he good?
Oh, yeah. He and his pal Adam Gruhl from Horseshoes and Hand Grenades have a couple albums out. And they're what you would expect. They're, you know, they're songs about supper clubs and beer gardens. But, yeah, he's great. That's really great.
Fantastic. Wow. So you're like literally banging on all cylinders. You got a great host, great bands. Do you play, Mike? Do you play with them?
No, but my son, my 23-year-old son, Sam, does. He's a singer-songwriter. And
fun.
He gets to, I'll tell a quick aside if we've got a minute.
Sure.
A couple years ago, one of our guests was a guy called Brian Ray. And Brian's day job is he plays guitar with Paul McCartney and has for the last 30 years. And Sam, one of his first, he was 18 at the time, one of his first live performances, he sang on the stage at the Sylvie with Brian Ray, Butch Vig, Chris Collingwood, Freddie Johnston, and they sang Don't Let Me Down. So he's got all the talent in the family. I'm nothing compared to my son. And as you can tell, I'm darn proud of him as well. Oh, so I don't, but Sam does.
Way too humble there. And you look like a musician. You look like you're doing a behind the music or something. You got all this great paraphernalia behind you. How cool is that?
Well, I do. We also have a podcast. So most of these people come on and we talk and kind of do what you and I are doing. And since I'm in the middle of Joey Song International headquarters, otherwise known as my basement, we've got kind of all of this stuff going on to make it a little more rock and roll.
Were you at all concerned? I have to tell you, Mike, when I was doing stand-up in the 90s, I was working Myrtle Beach, and I had to introduce Huey Lewis in the News. And they were kind of on the, you know, the backside, I guess, of the career. Yep. It was like a 1,200-seat theater. And I had seen them at Summerfest. Like, that's the kind of the jump they took. At the time, Hootie and the Blowfish were all the rage. And I almost said Hootie and the News, which would have been horrible. Huey would have punched me on the way onto the stage. However, you have the Go-Go's and the Goo Goo Dolls. I don't know if you saw. Are you worried there's going to be a mix-up there?
Oh, yeah. The good news is that Jane Wiedlin is beautiful, and so is Gina. And John Resnick, according to the girls, is handsome. So I probably won't get those two things mixed up. But that's what Charlie's there for. My job is to come out for a little bit and just thank everybody. And I let the pros do the talking because you would not want me to do that.
It sounds like you've got an amazing event here. We'll have a couple more minutes with our guest, Mike Gamal, the founder of Joey Song, on behalf of his son, doing great work trying to find a cure for epilepsy. And we'll give you some stats about epilepsy that you might not believe when we talk about them. That's coming up next with Mike Gamal on Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you here, folks.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, this is John Legend, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down the night shift.
Welcome back. news, weather, and sports just around the corner. Folks, at the top of the hour right now, I am very excited. We've got a few more minutes with our guest, Mike Gamal, who is the founder of Joey's Song, a great event that he founded in honor of his late son who suffered from a rare form of epilepsy. Mike, I thought this was fascinating when I was reading about this. I didn't know this. Epilepsy claims more lives every year than breast cancer.
Yeah.
And it affects more people than those with multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, and Parkinson's disease combined. That is insane. I mean, it's not a contest. They're all terrible things, but I had no idea about any of that.
Well, and it is. And one of the things that makes epilepsy so insidious relative to some of those other things is that there's usually no physical sign of it. A lot of those things that you mentioned, you can tell if somebody's struggling with MS or Parkinson's or CP. And so it's kind of shrouded in that. Plus, it's only been 100 or so years since the medical community understood what was causing that, right? Unfortunately, we're still going back to the days of demons and, you know, witchcraft on some of that. So there's still a stigma attached to it. So it is really almost a hidden disorder. You're absolutely right. It's not a contest. All of those are awful, but some of the statistics would kind of make you sit up and take notice. One in 26 people will develop epilepsy in their lifetime. Oh, one in 26 people. So if you think of your neighborhood and each house has four people in it, you know, that seventh house, the odds are that somebody in that house is going to develop epilepsy in their lifetime. What makes it even more insidious and why we're doing what we're doing is one in three people with epilepsy, and there are 50 million worldwide, can't get relief currently from medicine or surgery or any or therapies, right? So that means one in three people don't know if 10 minutes from now they're going to have a seizure, they're going to be in the back of an ambulance or something worse. So it's pretty stark, yet it's really interesting. As I've been doing this, even when Joe was still alive and epilepsy entered my life, it's amazing how many people do have that connection. You can see those statistics in real life. You know, oh yeah, my uncle, my aunt, the guy I worked with, my nephew. It really, as you talk more and more about it, you start to see that, yeah, there's probably some truth behind those stats.
Mike Gamal is my guest. He's the founder of Joey's Song, which has turned into a really big event called the Freezing Man Festival. It's days long now, January 8th through the 12th in Madison at the Sylvie Theater, a great venue. Mike, if people want to go, are there still tickets left with that lineup? Are you already sold out or?
No, there are. Joeysong.org will get you the link to either one. So we've got the Friday show is an all acoustic. So it's the same bill both nights. So all those people that I mentioned both nights, Friday night, we're going to do it as a seated show, stools and acoustic guitars. And all those artists will talk about some of their big songs, either covers and why they chose them or songs that they wrote. And then on Saturday, it's full-blown rocket. We all plug in and everybody plays together. There's only about 100 tickets left for the acoustic show, and there's about 400 out of the 2,500 left for the plugged-in show. So I would not wait.
Okay. Wow, great point. Hey, you and I have something else in common, Mike, too, when I was reading about you earlier. You went to DePaul University. That was where I went to college.
Yeah, I got my graduate degree down there, and love the city of Chicago. If it hadn't priced me out of the market, I'd probably still be down there because although the biggest hate in my life is the Bears, so I am a bit of a dichotomy. But
I'll pretend but I didn't I hear do that, like, Mike.
Yeah, well, I saw what Conrad's wearing, so I know I've got at least somebody on that side with me.
Yeah, you got a friendly face here.
But the city of Chicago has a warm place in my heart. And I love DePaul. DePaul was great. It was very good to me.
You know what's crazy is I've been going down to Madison once a month for like the last 12 years for this PBS gig I've been doing. Madison is crazy expensive. Like if you want to live down by the campus, there are people, Mike, honest to God, at the film festival there from LA that have said, I cannot believe how expensive it is here. Madison is crazy.
Well, there is an affordable housing shortage here, unfortunately. And if you've been around for many, many years, East Wash Avenue, all that campus stuff, what were five bedroom houses are now apartment buildings,
yeah,
but very desirable because the infrastructure is, I mean, great restaurants and great shops and all. It is certainly revitalized downtown. 20 years ago, if you'd said downtown Madison was the place to be, you'd have been laughed at. But now it's the case.
It's so great because I hear people complain about that. And I'm like, look, anywhere you want to go, if there is good schools, culture,
yes,
great restaurants,
yes,
you pay. And that's Madison, right, is like ranked the number one city to live in. And the weather is terrible. So that should tell you something about everything else it has to offer, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to see the algorithm, but if anything that can offset what we go through weather-wise, it has to be pretty great. Yeah, Madison's awesome.
Mike, it was so great talking to you. Best of luck with the event. It's so great, and I wish you luck, and I admire you, and I hope it crushes this year, and hopefully you're playing an instrumental part, hopefully, in the cure for epilepsy, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm convinced that when whoever mixes that final test tube together to find a cure, I'm convinced we will have bought that test tube. Nobody will be able to convince me otherwise.
Outstanding. Well, it's great to meet you. Let's do it again sometime.
Anytime, Pete. Would love to chat.
Thank you, buddy. All right, that's Mike Gamal. Go to joeysong.org and get one of these remaining tickets. They're going fast, and they're still, I think that acoustic show sounds like.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
That's, I mean, I would do both of them, but that's probably where I would start. That's fantastic. And it's for such a great cause, too. All right. We are coming back after news, sports, and weather, which is on the way next. We've got Comedy City in the house in hour number two, and all kinds of fun stuff still on tap. I'm going to read your text, too. After the news, it's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Schwab, this is Nightlight. Tomorrow night on the show, lots more fun, folks. You're not going to want to miss it. Madison film critic Rob Thomas will be here. We'll probably touch on the new Avatar film that opens this weekend. And Rob will tell us what he's seen. He is always fun to talk movies with. He'll be here tomorrow night. Weatherman Mace Michaels can tell us what's in store for the rest of the winter. And I need to know, because if it's cold, I just need to, you know, you just got to accept it. And that way I can prepare. But hopefully Mace will come on and say, it's going to be unseasonably warm.
My forecast doesn't do it for you?
No, your little iPhone does not cut it.
No.
But anyway, that'll be a fun show. So join us tomorrow night at Nightlight as well. Conrad will have more window vision weather forecasts for you. joining us now on Nightlight is Boris Hamilton, a very funny guy who I used to do stand-up with from time to time. And Boris, we were talking about Rob Reiner. You had an issue with... this is Spinal Tap, which last night, this was our question of the night. And I would say 20 of the people said that was their favorite Rob Reiner film. And you think it went on a little bit too long. And I would say, you're probably right. I haven't seen it in years, but I would think when Fred Willard comes along, that would breathe new life into it.
You would think, but at that point, they're at the Air Force Base. It's, you know, they have no more steam. It's just getting sadder.
You would think.
Just pull the plug. It's one of those movies like, kind of like the Blues Brothers, like every time you see it, it's a little longer.
Yeah.
You still love it.
Right.
You still love it, but you're like, oh, let's go.
You still love it, but it's those, you love the parts of it you love, but you're not willing to say, you know, I don't think the Blues Brothers is a great movie. It's a great movie to me because I got to see Chicago in it and I like John Belushi and the music is great. Same thing with Spinal Tap. And right. I should give it another watch before I say that. But what about some of his other films?
Well, like I said, The Sure Thing, I love The Sure Thing. I love Stand By Me. When Harry Met Sally is a perfect movie. Mm. A Few Good Men. I have so much fun watching that movie, even though it's a darker subject, but it's still like everyone is so great in it.
Right.
Everybody. And then American President is a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
And then he keeps going. And it's like, okay, I didn't know that he did Mississippi Burning. I never put that together.
Wait. No.
Yes.
Rob Reiner directed Mississippi Burning?
Yes.
How do... I'm completely spacing out because that's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah.
Rob Reiner?
That's the guy, yeah.
I can't even pull it up on IMDb because I can't type Mississippi. There's too many damn S's and P's in there. Okay. No, Alan Parker.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I just pulled it up.
Okay, hang on. Let me see. But, I got something here.
Are you thinking of City Slickers?
Oh, no. I'm thinking of Ghosts of Mississippi.
There we go. That's okay.
I'm a horrible... First it burns, then the ghosts.
You Got sent it. My whole world into upheaval with that because I was like, how did I not know? I'm like...
I'm a horrible American.
But no, he was fantastic. And we were talking about this a little bit last night. Like he never, like directors can ruin good material if they get too directory. He never did that. He enhanced it and he just like, he didn't write most of what he directed, I don't think, but he was an outstanding director.
Outstanding director and then an amazing, you know, a producer and an incredible actor. Like,
right.
I forgot that he's in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
And I didn't love that movie, but I loved every scene that he was in.
Right. That's a great point. Yeah. And I would say Princess Bride was my favorite. But I love Stand By Me. And you're right. I loved A Few Good Men. It's one of those movies I can't turn off because of the performances. They're just excellent.
And all of his other movies that aren't Spinal Tap, they don't go on too long. You're like, I need more.
Right. Oh, that's a great point. You know? I forgot about North though, honestly, and I forgot about The Sure Thing. And yesterday when I was scrolling down on IMDb, I must not have gone. That was like in the late 80s, right? That's John Cusack.
Yeah. I think in like 86, maybe.
No kidding. Interesting. I have to ask you this. I talked about this at the beginning of the show. A friend of mine who does news here in Green Bay said, did you ever meet Rob Reiner? And I never did. And I wish I would have, but I did. I was with an outfit called Commercials Unlimited for about 2 months. And his brother, Richie, was a commercial agent in LA. I don't know if you ever worked with that outfit or if you knew that.
If he did, then I'm sure I auditioned for them at some point.
Okay.
Back then, but I don't really remember. But of course, you know, the whole family was talented.
It was, here's what I thought was strange. And this is what, it's got to be so hard being a brother to a guy like Rob Reiner. Or being Bill Martin, Steve's brother, whoever it is, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
This guy was a commercial agent, and I sold a screenplay like a week after they signed me. He called me and asked me for a part in the movie. Like,
oh, my God.
I know. Talk about not knowing how this, like, you're a writer. You have no power. I don't even know the guy, but he was a really nice guy. But this is a guy asking. A young guy who just sold the script for a part, and his brother is Rob Reiner, Boris. Isn't that crazy?
Well, his dad is Carl Reiner. And his ex-sister-in-law was Penny Marshall. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You're asking me?
Isn't that crazy? But
it is. And then, you know, his brother's best friend was Albert Brooks. It's like, you know everybody. Right. But Pete Schwab was your guy.
He's my guy. Let's talk about this really cool documentary you're part of. Boris Hamilton is my guest. Very funny guy. And featured in the new documentary, The Dawn of Tiki. I hadn't heard of this today until you sent me the link. And it looks like one of the coolest movies I haven't seen yet. Please tell us about tell us about it.
It's a lot of fun. It's about the origin of Don the Beachcomber and how he turned his small cafe into a tropical bar and then fueled the tiki explosion that, you know, lasted from like the late 30s to probably the mid 70s and has been brought back a couple of times since. But it's a really interesting story. He's a really neat guy. And the way they do it, there's archival footage, there's animation, there's claymation. It's all really cool, done with original audio. My friends Alex and Max did a really nice job on that.
That's so really, please,
you know.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go to donatiki.com and check it out, Don with two N's. And it should be available for streaming, I think, in 2026. And please check it out.
Yeah, it looks cool. I love the artwork too, or the photo, I should say, on the website. Sure. He looks like a Beat Generation guy. Like he could have been hanging out with Kerouac or, you know, Neil Cassidy or someone.
He was always on top of everything, but had his own cool style at the same time. Like, you know, always ready for adventure.
Yeah.
Whether or not he was going anywhere cool or not.
No, I think this looks, I love movies like this. And it's one of those movies that I know I'm going to like just based on what I'm reading here. And I had never thought about, like, I've been to tiki bars. My neighbor in LA who lived two doors down had one in his backyard. And I thought, oh, this is great. But it never occurred to me where it came from.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, it's Hollywood. Comes from Hollywood, like everything else. Just
okay.
Know, fake paradise. But it's cool.
So how did you get involved? And what is your role in this? Do you just talk about it? Or
I just talk about him really quick. I'm in it for probably 6 seconds.
Okay.
But if you watch it, I clearly carry the movie. it should be called The Dawn of Tiki and Boris.
But sidekick.
It was we were at Tiki Oasis, which is an annual gathering of tiki people every summer in San Diego. And I knew them, so they asked me a question, and then I threw out like 15 answers, and they took one that worked. That's how that happened.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. I have to say, just it's weird because Conrad and I often will complain about the cold, and it's like we willingly live in Wisconsin and we complain about the cold. Like, that's insane behavior. But just saying tiki bar over and over is making it worse. Being in a very,
yeah. Well, I mean, how far are you from Milwaukee?
A couple hours. Maybe not okay, quite.
Because they have some good ones. The Foundation Room in Milwaukee is nice.
Oh.
There's some good ones.
You know, it's funny you say that because we have a question on the text line. Lee from De Pere wants us to ask Boris what his top three tiki bars that he's visited.
Oh, okay. Well, I would say number one would be the Maikai in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Which is an amazing... I think it was 1958 that it was built, and it's incredible. It's massive. It's cool. It just got refurbished. It had some roof damage, and they put a bunch of money into it, and it's incredible.
Oh, nice.
TQT in East Hollywood or Los Feliz is also fantastic. There's a direct lineage from Don the Beachcomber to TQT, so that makes it interesting. And then Smuggler's Cove in San Francisco. That would be for modern tiki cocktails, that would be my place to go.
Very nice. So what makes a tiki bar a good tiki bar? Like, you just listed three of them. You've obviously been to a few. What is it about them that makes them good?
Well, the decor, like, you know, it's gotta be legitimate without being jokey.
Okay.
You know, and without being inappropriate. You know, you want to feel like you're somewhere else, ideally.
Yeah.
And then the music helps a lot. You want to, like, again, not feel like you're just anywhere else. And then a good cocktail, like a good rum cocktail, where you're like, you know, I needed this.
Yeah.
And I need another one, and I'm going to have to stop right there.
That's great. What was the name of the one in Milwaukee again?
The Foundation Room.
The Foundation Room. Conrad, you ever been there?
Or it might be the Foundation Bar, but Foundation in Milwaukee.
Very cool. I'll check that out. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with the film. Keep us posted when it comes out or when we can stream
Absolutely.
It. Let us know. It looks really fantastic.
Cool.
So, okay. So now we've got to get to the controversial part of the Boris Hamilton interview. You talked about a holiday film that is beloved by Americans. You have a problem with it. Please tell us.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's not a good movie. I saw it in the theaters. I saw it in the theaters when it came out.
Yeah.
And even then I was like, I guess that was okay. You know, we talked about the 5 or 6 laughs that it has. I mean, obviously, Cousin Eddie with the septic tank situation or whatever.
The turlet. Yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious. And then I think my favorite part is he's talking to Clark, and there's a little windmill on a table, yeah. And he touches it and it breaks. To me, that's the best part of the movie. you know, and then they what? They torment their neighbors who are just minding their own business. all his in-laws are horrible people. They're dreadful.
Yeah, they're a little harsh.
They kill a cat. you know, like the whole the saucer slide scene. It's a little not cartoony. Enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, and now he's under a truck. It's like, okay. And then one of the things, you know, so I'm willing to accept the Griswolds and their universe or whatever.
Sure.
But then they have Brian Doyle Murray as his boss. But I'm like, wait, he was the guy running the cabins in the first Vacation. You can't do that. I can't.
He was the guy that said, when they said that sounds pricey, he said, for the tents, he said, all that price includes scenery and wildlife fun.
Wildlife fun.
Hey, Boris, let's pick it up right there. We got to do a really short break this time, and we'll finish our discussion about Christmas Vacation. He doesn't like it, folks. Let him hear it on the text line. I don't totally disagree with him, but we'll get into that after this very short break. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me, folks. Lee from DePere says, great movie. We saw it in Milwaukee at the Oriental Theater in September. He's got to be talking about Christmas Vacation, right? They probably did like a special screening.
No, I think it was a movie that Boris was talking about before Christmas Vacation.
Oh, the Tiki.
Oh, is it doing like a, oh, the Oriental would have a film like that. Is it out on a theatrical release?
Yeah, well, they were doing like a road show with it. They were going nice. Around. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. There's a good endorsement. Great movie, he says. Fantastic. All right, we were talking about Christmas Vacation, Boris, and we both kind of agreed. Here's why I like it. I'll just play devil's advocate. I like the memories I have watching it with like my cousins or my friends or whatever. And we were still, it was 1989 when it came out. I was still like in the Chevy Chase fan club, so to speak. And I like the house. I like how they're getting ready for Christmas. And it seems like, even though it was on the WB lot, I think it was the same.
Yeah.
It was the same as the Lethal Weapon house, actually, I believe.
Okay.
And so, you know, I guess for those reasons, and it's familiar, I like it, but I do agree with you. It's not a great movie.
It's not. Maybe it's paid for or whatever, because they can run it 17 times a day during the holidays. But it just, you know, it just gets meaner each time.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of the other jokes, you know, I don't know. Clark just isn't a good dad. I would put Vegas Vacation ahead of Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even think I saw Vegas Vacation. I did love, I love the original.
The original is fantastic.
Harold Ramis, come on.
Yep. And then by the time you get to John Candy, you're like, I'm not tired yet.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The European Vacation, I can do without.
Yeah, same. Again, probably three laughs.
Yeah.
Then I would put
all
Christmas.
All Eric Idle.
Right. Yes. And I would put Christmas Vacation as my second. But, you know, yeah, it's interesting. And I love that you said that. And I love that we're talking about this. are you watching Pluribus by any chance?
I'm not.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
It's please tell me. It's the new Vince Gilligan show, Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And people love Vince Gilligan. I love Vince Gilligan, and I loved this the first. I don't want to say anything, but if you do watch it, come back on, and we'll talk about it because.
Okay.
I need someone to vent to, but.
Okay, I can do that.
But you came into listen. This was very gutsy of you. You didn't have to do this, but you came on and you ripped on a beloved American Christmas movie, and I played.
Well, you know, it holds up about as well as Chevy Chase did.
That's great. Conrad is going to get over this. He's stewing a little bit, but he's doing okay. But Conrad,
what's Conrad's favorite part?
Yeah, what's your favorite part?
What's his favorite part?
It is that part where he touches the windmill and then Clark tries to fix it.
Right. And he's got the dickie on. But that could be a short film. Just a guy hitting the thing and the knock.
Oh, if it was 6 minutes long, that would be the best of the vacation movies.
Great stuff, buddy. It was great to talk to you, and you should still do stand up. You're very funny, and I miss you, pal. And let's do this again sometime. Check out Pluribus, and we'll discuss.
Thank you, Pete. Miss you too, and have a great night. Low 20s tonight, so be careful.
Oh, I know. He's rubbing it in. That's a parting shot. All right, thank you, buddy. Have a great night, Boris. Thanks so much.
You too.
All right, so you know, he's got a point. I mean, I watch it. And I'll say Home Alone's not a great Chris. It's not a great movie either. It's a good movie for what it is, but Home Alone kicks ass in the last like 20 minutes when it's him against the bandits.
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, I think there's some laughs before that too. But
there's a few.
I mean, Christmas Vacation's not my like for Christmas movies. My favorite one.
Yeah. Look, I'm still gonna watch it. I still like. There's some laughs. It's comfort. It's a comfort food movie.
I like to laugh, you know, for my movies. So that for Christmas, you know.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to apologize. I like
it. I'll say this. Vegas Vacation, if you haven't seen it, it's not a great film
either. I've heard it's horrible.
But there's some funny parts. It's not a great film.
Right.
My favorite part is when they go to Eddie's casino.
Eddie's got a casino in Vegas?
Well, it's not his own, but it's the one he goes to.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't.
They got a buffet there.
I'm not. I don't know. Maybe I will check it out. I don't know. John Murray on the text line in the 608 says, "Free wrap this." And did you see the picture of the thing he sent? It's a crazy lamp. You
actually, I put it there. There we go. You can see it on stream now.
That's what John wants us to try to wrap.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if it's in a box first,
or maybe you just don't. Maybe you just don't buy that.
Yeah, that's
maybe
true.
Maybe get yourself a nice lamp, John. Think about it. That's all I'm saying. He says not even the elves dare to try. Plus, I guess their union would make it okay. We read Lee's text. Thank you, Lee. Steady Eddie from the 608 says, Pete and Conrad, here's a Christmas gift that is hard to rapidly wrap with a little spelling play on the word wrap there. Well done, Eddie. He says, my name is Steady Eddie, and I'm here to say I'm rapping my Christmas rhyme as I watch the snowflakes play. I'm just chilling, and it's oh so fulfilling to hear the bells chime, ding dong, ding, ring-a-ling, hey, hey, hey. It will soon be Christmas Day. Rappity rap, 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 rap. Now I'm wrapping up this Christmas rhyme in double time. My name is Steady Eddie, and I'm here to say I love old Saint Nick on Christmas Day. Steady Eddie, that is gorgeous. Thank you, sir. Well done. Boy, I love the care he put into that. That's like Santa's
text.
Elves care when they put into the toy. Toys when they make the toy. I'm at the Fred Willard part of this is Spinal Tap, according to Boris. I'm running out of steam. Thank you folks for being here tonight. Thank you to Mike Gamal, Comedy City, Erica and Scott. Great to have them here. Thank you, Boris Hamilton. And thank you for all your texts and calls, folks. Always so much more fun when you guys are part of the show. We're going to be back again tomorrow night. Christmas creeps ever closer. Be safe out there, folks, and enjoy this holiday season. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwab saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
You're a thumb, you're a punk. You're an old slut and jumper, and they're almost dead on a trip in that
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.